Good morning. Welcome to those of you who are our guests. Glad that you're here today. Thank you for being with us. I'm so glad we can come together to study God's Word. Welcome to those of you who are with us online. I know our numbers connecting with us on the internet have been dwindling some as more people have been able to be here present with us. We're very grateful for that, but we're also grateful that we can connect in any way that God gives us to connect. Well, as Walt mentioned earlier, we are thinking and praying about possibly appointing a new elder in our church next week. And so this morning, what I'd like to do is share two passages of Scripture that teach us what it means to be an elder and what elders do in the church. The first passage is significantly longer than the second, and we'll spend almost all our time on it. We'll read these two passages, we'll talk about what they mean, and then at the end, I'd like to talk about what this kind of elder that we read about in Scripture might look like in the church today. So the first passage is from the book of Acts, which we've been studying through. It's in Acts chapter 20. If you have your Bible, go ahead and open up there, Acts chapter 20. We'll start in verse 17. As we're studying through Acts, we're still just at the beginning of the book of Acts, the first section of it. But I wanted to jump ahead today to see what the Apostle Paul says about elders in the church. So in Acts chapter 20, Paul is traveling to Jerusalem, and the ship that he is on is stopping about 30 miles south of Ephesus. And earlier in Acts, Paul has spent a significant amount of time in Ephesus. In fact, he'll say that he had ministered there for about 3 years, planting the church, building up the church, helping it grow there. And we'll read in just a moment that Paul didn't know whether he would survive his time in Jerusalem or what might happen to him when he got there, but he had a sense that he might never make it back through this part of the Roman Empire again. And the church here was important to him. And the leaders of the church there were important to him. He had worked with them for a long time. And so he wanted to speak once more to the elders from the church in Ephesus to teach and encourage them one last time. And so what we'll read here in the book of Acts, chapter 20, is his message to them. We'll start in Acts 20, verse 17. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. It's a tender moment in the ministry of Paul as he thinks that he will not see these people again, and so he speaks with them one last time, calling them to care for God's church as shepherds. And that's our key word in our two texts this morning, shepherds. Paul says in verse 28, be shepherds of the church of God. Elders are to be shepherds in God's church. He says again in verse 28, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Elders are called by God to take care of his church as a shepherd takes care of his flock of sheep. God himself is the great shepherd to us all. We just sang a moment ago from Psalm 23. Psalm 23 verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. God is our trustworthy and ultimate shepherd. He provides us with all that we need. He leads us. He protects us. Jesus, our Lord, is our good shepherd. In John 10, verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And he did. Jesus laid down his life for us to save us from sin and from God's judgment because God loves us so much. So if elders are shepherds of God's church, then their highest role model is God himself and Jesus our Lord. God shepherds us and he cares for us, and the love that Jesus showed when he gave his life for us, these all model the attitude with which elders in the church are to shepherd God's sheep. God himself and Jesus our Lord are our highest role model. And because elders are shepherds serving under our great shepherd, their authority is not their own. They shepherd us in service to God. Paul says to the Ephesian elders in verse 28, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. It is by the leading of the Holy Spirit that the elders are given authority to watch over the church. And so this tells us two things about the authority of elders. First, we as God's sheep need to honor the authority that God has given to the shepherds in our church. Their authority comes not from themselves, but from God. And second, since elders' authority is not their own, but comes from God, they must never abuse it. It is not theirs to use as they please, but it belongs to God. And these two dynamics balance each other out. Elders don't get to command anyone. They're not generals, they're shepherds. But the church listens to them because they serve God by caring for his sheep. And so an elder's authority is based on trust, not on a right to rule, but on the trust that the sheep in his flock have for their shepherd who has been appointed for them by God. And so the sheep follow the shepherd because they trust him, and they trust him because they see God working in his life to help the church. As Paul speaks to the Ephesian elders, he presents himself as a model of the kind of authority that all leaders in the church carry. The apostles, when they were living, elders, deacons, ministers, teachers, parents, anyone who has any authority in the church bears this kind of authority that Paul models for the church. In verse 19, Paul says that he served the Lord with great humility and with tears and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of Jewish opponents. Godly leaders lead with humility. They lead with tears sometimes because they care so much for God's church. They lead with endurance during times of difficulty. Verses 20 and 21, Paul says he did not hesitate to teach people publicly and privately about turning to God in repentance and about having faith in Jesus. Godly leaders call others to faith in Jesus and help turn people to God. They might teach formally, as in, you know, preaching a sermon or leading a Bible class. They might teach informally, as from person to person and setting a good example for others and just speaking to them and encouraging them to do what God calls us to do, to grow in our faith, to grow in likeness to Jesus. But they all urge and encourage people to turn to God and put their faith in Jesus. In verse 24, Paul says his only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given him. That's all he wants to do. His life doesn't mean anything to him if only he can serve God to the very end. Leaders in the church have to keep their focus and strive toward the goal that God has placed before them. In verses 33 to 35, Paul says he has not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. He wasn't in this to get stuff for himself. But he had worked hard with his own hands to supply his own needs and the needs of his co-workers in ministry. And in this way, he modeled how believers, and especially leaders, must work hard to help those who are weak, fulfilling what Jesus taught us, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Godly leaders work hard not to advance their own position, not to get stuff for themselves, but to help others, especially those who are weak, as Jesus taught us. This is the kind of authority that shepherds bear in the Lord's church. Really, anyone in authority in the church bears authority to serve with humility and tears through every kind of difficulty. That's daunting. All kinds of things can go wrong in churches. We've had a hard year this year, but God has blessed our leaders. God always blesses his church's leaders when they're faithful and look to him for strength, because he loves them and he loves his church. God calls these leaders to authority to lead people to faith and to continual growth in Christ. God gives authority to leaders in the church for that purpose. God gives authority to do the work that God has given leaders to do until their race is finished and their work is done. And he helps them persevere along the way. And God gives authority to serve not for personal gain, but in order to help the weak for God's glory. This is the authority that God gives to leaders in his church. And Paul modeled that authority for the church in Ephesus and for its elders. In verses 28 to 31, Paul gives the Ephesian elders a few instructions. In verse 28, he says, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." An elder is called to shepherd the flock that God has put under his care. Not every flock everywhere, but the flock that's under his care. But before an elder can keep watch over God's church, he has to keep watch over himself. He has to make sure that his own relationship with God is right. He must examine himself, as Jack talked about this morning. Verse 28, Paul says, "Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." The church is precious to God. He cares about it deeply. It cost him enormously, and he was glad to pay the price. As elders shepherd the church, they need to do so with great care, never recklessly or selfishly, because God paid for his flock with nothing less than the blood of Christ. In verses 29 and 30, Paul says, "I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them." Paul foresaw that these elders were going to face difficult times. Maybe the Holy Spirit had told him this. Maybe God had told him in some other way. Maybe it was just from his experience with the church in Ephesus that he knew this was going to happen. Wolves would come in to ravage the flock, and seemingly faithful people would put themselves ahead of Jesus and change the message of Jesus in order to get people to follow themselves. And so Paul called the Ephesian elders to stand in defense of their flock, to guard the church and to care for it and protect it. And so the church's shepherds must be people who know God well and who know God's word well, who understand godly teaching and who can sniff out false teaching, distortions of the truth when they come near, and who can defend the church against people who would do it harm. Now, clearly, shepherding a church is a monumental task. Defending the church, caring for it, watching over it day by day, watching over yourself and keeping yourself right with God. And all of this would be impossible. It would be too much for anyone, except that God himself builds up those who lead in his church, those he has chosen to shepherd his flock. Verse 32, Paul says, "Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." God is able to build up those he has called to shepherd his church. And those who lead faithfully will receive a reward, an inheritance, along with all of God's faithful people. Our second text this morning is very short. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. It's short, but it offers a very similar teaching. And the Apostle Peter, like Paul, speaks of the church's elders as shepherds. And so that's the link between these two texts. So 1 Peter 5, verse 1. "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble." Peter affirms the same kind of shepherd leadership that Paul modeled and taught to the Ephesian elders. Shepherds of God's flock, watch over the flock, not because they're required to, but because they're willing. No one has to serve as an elder, but if anyone is willing, that's honorable. Those who are shepherds are not to lead for dishonest gain, not so that they can have access to the church's money, but because they're eager to serve. This is similar to Paul saying that he never coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing, but worked hard with his own hands to bless the weak. Shepherd's leadership is not the kind that lords it over the flock, but the kind that leads by example. Paul had set an example for the Ephesian elders. Peter calls shepherds to do the same for their flock. In verse 5, Peter calls us who are younger to submit to our elders, and he calls all of us to be humble toward one another. So elders show their humility toward the church by faithfully serving and caring for the needs of the church. And the church shows humility in turn by honoring the authority that God has placed in their elders. All of us honor God by showing humility toward one another. And Peter gives this great promise to the elders who shepherd God's church faithfully. It's my favorite line in this little text, verse 4. "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." When Jesus, the greatest shepherd of them all, the shepherd to whom all shepherds look, when he comes again, shepherds who have cared for the Lord's church well will receive a glorious crown, an eternal crown, honor from God that will never fade away. At its core, Being an elder in the church means being a shepherd of God's sheep, caring for the sheep, helping them, defending them, leading them in paths that bring them closer to God. Well, what does godly shepherding, like we've read about this morning, look like in the church today? Well, one thing that it is not, sometimes it's easier to define what something is by saying what it is not. One thing that shepherding in the church today is not is having meetings and making decisions and then pronouncing decrees about what the elders are telling the church to do while remaining disconnected from the flock that the shepherds are called to shepherd. I saw this happen once when I was a young man. You know, Jesus warned his followers not to lord it over each other, but said instead that the greatest among us is the one who serves. So we're to be careful how we use authority given to us in the Lord's church at any level. Well, when I was a young man, I saw a group of elders become more like a board of directors than like shepherds in a church. Without consulting the church first, they sold the Christian school that the church had invested in for decades. People had given their lives for a ministry in that school in order to reach out to the community, and the elders just sold the whole thing, the property, the furnishings, everything. They didn't ask anyone first. In fact, they only talked about it in closed meetings and did not communicate with the church that this was coming until it was already done. They had decided that this was what was best for the church because, as we found out a year, 2 years down the road, they wanted to use the money from the sale to replace their old church building that was falling apart. Well, they needed a new church building, but that was not shepherding. They broke trust with the church, and the church they led, unsurprisingly, split apart. It was very sad. I've seen elders lead badly a few times, but most of the time, praise God, I have seen excellent, godly shepherding. I could count on a hand or two the times when I've seen elders not act as shepherds, but I have seen faithful elders shepherd the church well hundreds, maybe thousands of times. Let me share with you three of those times. I remember an elder probably 20-plus years ago named Larry. Larry was not the touchy-feely type, not at all. He was more a science-minded guy, a data-driven kind of guy. He helped to shepherd a church of over 1,000 people. One day, the elders, there were about a dozen of them, including Larry, found out that one of the ministers in that church, there were several ministers, one of them had sinned and had hurt dozens of people in the church. And Larry accepted the difficult responsibility of going to talk with the people who had been hurt. There were a bunch of us meeting together, and he came to our meeting, and he did what he could to bind up the wounds of his injured sheep. He talked with us. He was honest. He was kind. He brought what healing he could. He told us what the situation was, what the elders were doing about it. He was as gracious as he could be. And I know that for a long time after that, he prayed for everyone who had been hurt by that man's sin. And then Larry also went to the minister and helped him repent. And he went to the minister and his wife and helped them reconcile. He helped that minister rebuild his own relationship with God. He was a faithful and effective shepherd during a very difficult situation. I remember another elder named Jim, not our Jim, but very similar in his deep love for the church and for God. When I was training to become a minister, Jim let me come with him to visit the sick. He was so tender. He was a man with an incredible deep bass voice that I envy, resonant, and his personality was very much the same. Strong, capable. He was a businessman. He owned his own company. When he went to the sick, he was so tender. He'd get right down by the bedside and talk to them softly and encourage them, give them words of hope from God, words to strengthen them. But then I also saw him stand up to church leaders who sinned, and he called them lovingly but firmly to repent. And I heard him preach God's word in a way that connected with people. And I saw him love the church over an extended period of time, many years. He was a godly shepherd. One of my favorites was from right here in our own church, our brother Bob Dethridge. His wife Margie right alongside him. Bob, as many of you recall, was always kind. I can't remember, Margie, you probably know of a time, but I can't remember a time when Bob wasn't kind. He was so gracious to us. He served as an elder for over 30 years before he became too sick to continue. I saw him defend the church against people who wanted too much power. You may have seen him defend the church in that way too, or maybe you didn't because he and the other elders took care of the issue before it became public. We were very grateful. I saw him think carefully and pray diligently about what was God's will for the church. I saw him love little children and old folks. And I saw him work hard and take extra time to make sure that the new young preacher and his wife and their three little kids were all doing okay. And I saw him reach out to someone he loved who had fallen away from the Lord and just reach out again and again, offering forgiveness, pleading with him to come back to God, trying to bring home a lost sheep. Those of you who were blessed by Bob's leadership don't need me to tell you. He was a faithful and strong and gracious shepherd in our church. And Margie, you were right there beside him. We honor you and thank you. You were both a blessing to us. Godly shepherds bless God's church. Godly shepherds help us grow in Christ. Faithful shepherds help us get to eternal life. And one day we're going to get there. And we're going to celebrate. And after we've just bowed before our Lord Jesus and God, our great Father, and just worship for, I don't know, a couple thousand years, we'll get up and we'll go search out people who helped us to get to eternal life. And our shepherds will be some of those key people. And as Peter and Paul both said, shepherds who serve faithfully will receive a wonderful inheritance, a glorious crown when Jesus comes again. This week, as we continue to pray and consider whether God is calling us to appoint a new elder, please pray for our elders. Pray for our present elders. Pray for our future elders, that they may serve as excellent shepherds, leading God's church faithfully and effectively, helping us walk with God until Jesus comes again and we all receive the reward that he has promised. In fact, let's pray about that now, if you would, and may God bless you as we pray. God, our Father, we thank you for those who have shepherded us in the past, in this church and in other churches where we have worshiped. You have provided leaders for your church worldwide. We are so grateful, dear God. And we pray, dear Lord, as we look ahead to next week, as we are considering whether it might be good to appoint a new elder. Lord, we pray for Jack and Aiko that you would bless them and encourage them and guide their thoughts and their hearts and help them to walk with you faithfully. And we pray that you would build them up, Lord, whichever way things go next week. And Father, we pray as a congregation that you would bless our shepherds today and through this week. We pray that you would nurture them and that you would be a shepherd to them, to defend them and to care for them and to guide them into good pasture and into fresh water. We pray that you would refresh their spirits. We pray that you would strengthen their bodies for good service and that you would keep their minds sharp and clear. We pray for them, Lord, that you would watch over them and bless our elders in days to come, whether next Sunday and the weeks thereafter, in the months and years ahead, in the decades ahead. Lord, bless this church with faithful leaders who love you and who are diligent in service to your church, who are exactly like Peter and Paul described, guarding the church against savage wolves and caring for the flock over which they have been made overseers by the Holy Spirit, serving not out of a sense of compulsion, but out of a deep desire to serve the church, serving not for personal gain, but in order to serve others and being an example for your flock. Lord, grant us shepherds like these again, as you have done in the past. We lift this prayer to you, Lord, acknowledging you as our great shepherd and Jesus, our Lord, as our good shepherd. We thank you for caring for your sheep and pray that you would do so again. In Jesus' name, amen.